Our reading is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Here ends our scripture lesson. Dear friends in Christ, one day Jesus' disciples came to him with a request, "Lord, teach us to pray." Prayer is not something that comes naturally to people. It is something that has to be learned and practiced. When we first learned how to talk, we mimicked the sounds of our parents and siblings talking. The first words that come out of our mouths are mama and dada. Linguists point out that the simplest words for mother and father are strikingly similar in every language. They're the words most easily formed by infant lips. Little Hebrew children learn to call their fathers Abba, easily recognized as a first cousin to our English word, dada. This is the same way Jesus teaches us to pray. The vocabulary of prayer also has to be taught to us, for it is a new language, the language of faith. Prayer is learned the same way we learn all other speech, by imitation. When Jesus set out to teach his disciples to pray, he began with the basics. When you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." How can we call God our Father? He is the one who created us. However, by the fall into sin, our family connection to God has been severed. Since we daily sin in our thoughts, words, and actions, we have forfeited our right to call God our Father. Yet Jesus teaches us to pray our Father because God sent his Son in the flesh to be our brother, to become our Savior. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." This adoption takes place through holy baptism. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." When we address God as our Father in heaven, this does not point to the location of God as if he were in heaven and nowhere else. Rather, it refers to his majesty and glory. He is all-powerful and everywhere present. He combines fatherly love with heavenly power, and what his love directs, his power is able to perform. After teaching us how to address God as our Father, Jesus teaches us what to ask for. Knowing who God is through faith in Christ radically affects the content of our prayers. We will not view God as a genie that grants our every wish. Instead, God's honor and will are given top priority. Our own needs, demoted to second place, will be prayed with God's will in mind and with trust in what God has promised us in his word. We pray first for God's honor and reputation. Hallowed be your name. God's name stands for who he is and what he does. God reveals his name to us in his word in order to bring us into fellowship with him. At the center of Scripture is Jesus, the name by which God has made himself known for our salvation. God's name and word are holy in and of themselves. There is nothing we can do that would ever increase the holiness of God's name. However, when we teach and live contrary to God's word, breaking his commandments, altering or denying his teachings, we give God a bad name. So when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are asking that it may be kept holy among us. How is this done? We keep God's name holy when his word is taught and its truth and purity, and we as children of God live holy lives according to it. Secondly, we pray, "Your kingdom come." This kingdom is not an earthly political kingdom, but God's kingdom of grace, the church, and the kingdom of glory in heaven. The coming of God's kingdom is everything God does for us in Jesus, saving us from our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, and giving us forgiveness and eternal life. God's kingdom comes among us as the Holy Spirit rules in the hearts of believers by his word. Jesus teaches us to pray, thirdly, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's will is a good and gracious will. God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God's will is carried out perfectly in heaven by his holy angels. And we are here praying that we, God's children by faith, would believe in him and live according to his will here on earth. Jesus, also wants us to be conscious of our day-to-day dependence upon God. With this in mind, we pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread refers to all that we need to support this body and life, such as food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, spouse, children, good government, and peace. While we recognize that all these are gifts from God, this prayer does not deny that most people have to work for a living. Knowing, but also God gives us his gifts so that we can support this body and life. Knowing all our needs are provided by the Lord, we will be content with what we have and not be greedy for luxury. Just as our daily bread is necessary to sustain the life of the body and its health, so forgiveness is vital for the life and health of the soul. Next, Jesus teaches us to pray and forgive us our sins. Since we sin every day in ways that we're not even aware of, we owe God a debt so large that it's beyond any possibility of our repaying it. We deserve to be thrown into the debtor's prison of hell for all eternity. Yet Jesus took the debt of our sin upon himself and paid for our debt in full on the cross. The Father stamped Jesus' payment as paid in full by raising Jesus from the dead. This petition not only deals with God's forgiveness toward us, but adds, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. As those who have been forgiven an enormous debt of sin by God, we will forgive those who sin against us. Our motivation and power to forgive others comes from Jesus, who prayed for his enemies while he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Next, our attention is turned from our past sins, still threatening us with their guilt and curse, to future sins and dangers, which may again overwhelm us, and do not lead us into temptation. God tempts no one to sin. Such temptations are from the evil one, the devil. And while we are too weak to stand up against the devil's temptations on our own, our Heavenly Father will deliver us if we call upon him, but deliver us from the evil one. This prayer is directed against the devil, the source of all evils. We are asking God to deliver us from evil, moral evil, pain and distress, which may be used to injure our souls. God reveals his name to us in order that we may be finally delivered from all evil and brought into his heavenly kingdom, where his will alone is done. With his disciples, we ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches that God is our Father in heaven. He loves his children, and he knows his children, and he knows all our needs before we even ask him. He acts on behalf of his children by his heavenly and kingly power. If we allow Jesus to teach us how to address God and what to ask for, we will pray like the children of God that we are. Amen. Please rise, and we'll join in singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.